Hi, everyone. Welcome back to episode 134. Today, I'm here with David Mill at Shelta. They were founded in 2023, so it's only been a year. And what they do is really, really exciting. They specialize in building robust custom apps and providing expert tech consulting specifically for the construction and manufacturing industry. They have a number of clients locally, and they're scaling up, but it's only been a year, so there's a lot of exciting things here at Shelta. So a little bit about David. He studied at Western University and completed a construction management certificate at St. Clair College and Cornell University. He's a former professional squash player, so that's what he does on his spare time, and former project coordinator at Petretta Construction. So we're going to talk about construction management today, all about the young startup that David's creating here, and I'm excited to get into it.
Lyndon, thank you for having me.
Thank you, David. And as you know, and I think you're looking at a few episodes before this, so you're ready for the first question and the toughest one. Where in Windsor is your favorite place for coffee?
You know, to be very honest with you, Lyndon, we have coffee here at the office every morning. Our team and I did a lot of research on which machine to purchase, because we figured if all of us were going to Starbucks every morning or going to a cafe every morning, we could likely pay off the machine in a couple months. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of interesting because two of our employees actually have family members who roast their own beans. So we're constantly trying out new espresso beans. So I'd say my favorite place to have coffee is right here at the office with the team.
And you have unlimited beans.
Yes.
Never ending.
Yeah, we appreciate our espressos here.
That's amazing. Now, besides brewing great coffee here, can you talk to us about the story behind Shelta? How did this happen?
Yeah, so Shelta, as you said, started a year ago. It actually was born through the pain points that I was experiencing, both with my family, specifically my grandmother, downsizing from a two-story home to a ranch. As well as being a project coordinator for large condo developments. So just to give you some perspective, I would consistently be sitting in a showroom with number of samples and swatches laid out on a table. So your hardwoods, your cabinets, your handles, your paint swatches. And we'd have to piece together all the finishes to make that finished product for the future home. Mm-hmm. And you know, we'd spend hours in the showroom because it's difficult to make a decision for, you know, a couple thousand square foot home based on small samples and swatches. And I remember, you know, going to work, doing that with a number of customers, and then coming home and picking up my grandmother and going to showrooms across the city to try to help her pick out her tiles and hardwoods and paints. And, you know, there were some times where she would be close to tears because there would be 30 handles in front of her trying to pick out for her cabinets.
Just too much.
Yeah. And, you know, she always spoke to me in Italian and she kept whispering to me, like, I have no Shelta. They're pushing me, because Shelta means choice. Ah. So people were kind of over her shoulder and she felt pressured. You know, and this is a very personal, intimate purchase, right? Your home is one of the largest purchases you're ever going to make. Mm-hmm. So when I noticed that, I started to look at configurators online. So I started looking at the Porsche configurator and the Tesla configurator, and even Lamborghini has a configurator. I noticed if we can configure these $100,000 vehicles with the paints, the interiors, the leathers, the steering wheel, the tires, the rims, you know, how different would it be if we put in a 3D floor plan based on the actual specs of the home and allowed customers to walk through their future home in 3D and pick out samples and swatches, but actually see them portrayed in their finished home. Mm-hmm. So I set out on nights and weekends and reached out to a few buddies of mine from Western who were software engineers and said, hey, I have this idea. I want to put together a configurator for homes. What are your thoughts? And, you know, I knew they were going to spend many hours and I wanted to make sure they were compensated for that. So my brother and I cleaned windows for 4 summers in a row. So we had a little bit of money saved up.
Yes.
So we took the funds from the window cleaning and paid it to our friends to basically build this initial prototype of the configurator. So many nights, you know, just on calls with them, and then they'd come over on weekends and we would sit at our, you know, our parents' house and be building this configurator. And then finally we had a prototype that we felt confident enough with. So took the floor plans and the specs of the 150 unit condo building that was being built by Petretta at the time and portrayed it in a way that customers could just simply log in, pick their finishes, pick their samples, pick their swatches, and see how it went. So mm-hmm. I brought it to my boss at the time, who's also, you know, a great teacher and mentor of mine, and asked him if we could use this configurator for the next condo building. And what was kind of the perfect storm was we just finished 150 condo unit building next door, which was a very similar footprint, number of units, floor plan size. So it was kind of the perfect A-B test to be like, okay, we did 150 units the traditional way in a showroom with samples and swatches. Now we're going to do it on a configurator and see how that goes. Mm-hmm. And the results were very good. You know, the number of upgrades that were purchased because customers could actually see their finished unit, they were more inclined to make those purchases for upgrades, as well as the project management time spent with customers having to manually input all their selections, put together their contracts, put together the contractor scopes of work. It was a lot of, you know, labor when it came to doing it the traditional way. But through the configurator, it actually automated the paperwork. So every time that you would customize something in the app, it would be pre-generating your finished scope of work, and it would be pre-generating the customer's agreement. So at the end of it, the time saved and the upgrade spent was quite staggering. And I remember bringing it to my grandmother and letting her try it out. I was like, if my grandmother can use this app, then anyone can use this application. So I remember bringing it to her and showing her her kitchen. And all of a sudden, she started clicking through different handles. I could see this big smile on her face.
She started screaming, Shelta?
Yeah. She's like, I have a Shelta. I have a choice. You've given me choice. Yeah, so hence the inspiration behind the name. I named it Shelta. And we were off to the races.
So would you consider yourself an ideas guy? Because it, like you mentioned, you had to hire software engineers to do this work. So this was an idea you had and you're like, okay, now I have to go find the right people.
Yeah. So I've been really lucky to have great people around me. Mm-hmm. I feel like my strong suit is, you know, explaining the idea to people and then packaging it in a, you know, a sales-like manner, right? Mm-hmm. So I was able to go back to my software engineer friends and communicate the idea. I would draw out rough, you know, images of what I think it should look like.
Yeah.
And then I'd have them, you know, put together a prototype and I'd take a look at it and be like, hey, if I were a customer, I'd probably want to click here and click there. And it's more, you know, user-friendly this way. So I think from my perspective, I'm a bit more of the visionary. And my team, who's actually doing the actual inputs and the coding, you know, us together was a really strong team.
So many people come up with ideas. I would imagine the average person comes up, whether they're in their day job, they come up with an idea.
Yeah.
How did you convince yourself to actually pursue this?
Well, I took a bit of a risk because I had to take all the savings that I had made from the window cleaning and basically put it towards this application. So I took, you know, I think calculated risk is important in any new venture, any new startup, right? You have to take that little bit of risk. But I also, once I started to see the reactions on the face of my grandmother, on the customers that were buying their condos and the reaction that they were having and the time that we were saving, that gave me the confidence to really pursue it further.
Yeah, I can't imagine like you just taking that leap, right? From, because you were at Petretta.
Yeah.
And then eventually did you just, okay, I'm going out on my own?
Yeah. So I had great teachers and mentors at Petretta. And I came into that job, you know, only having construction management knowledge from school. But as you know, it's a lot different when you get to the field.
Yeah.
All that's kind of thrown out the window. So I spent a couple of years with these contractors and watching how they would react to paperwork and how you can communicate with contractors better. So I had a really good knowledge base going into it of if I were able to portray the information to the contractor in an easier, more digestible way, they would likely receive it well.
Mm-hmm.
So going in with that knowledge of what contractors want to see was sort of like my strong suit in building the app.
Was there somebody that pushed you to, this is a great idea, you have to pursue it? Like, you obviously need a sounding board, right?
Yeah.
And that's important.
Yeah. I mean, my dad is definitely, you know, an advisor and mentor of mine. Mm-hmm. And he's always pushed me to try different things and, you know, convinced me to go to Western. And I actually studied Italian language and culture. So nothing to do with construction management or anything like that.
Wow.
And at the time I thought, why would I, you know, go to school for something that I'm not going to become an Italian professor, right? But his idea was I had the ability to travel the world, to meet new people, to play squash internationally. And so I really kind of built that confidence and got to experience different parts of the world. And I think that, you know, that knowledge, just feeling confident, meeting new people and bringing people together for a business idea was sort of what pushed me.
And confidence is a big thing, especially, and it's been about a year that Shelta has been in place.
Yeah.
How did you get the confidence to have your first contract, your first signed deal where you could actually take this configurator and put it into market?
Yeah. So I approached a few builders about the configurator because it was starting to gain some traction and subcontractors were starting to talk about it. And there was sort of a buzz around what is this new software? Because, you know, at the time when I first came into construction, it was probably the hottest time for Windsor building condos, like right before COVID. And during COVID, condo buildings were going up like crazy, right?
They were.
There was the most cranes in Windsor, record number of cranes building condos.
It's only one crane.
Yeah.
Linden Crane.
Linden Crane, yes, exactly. Yeah. And so I noticed, and that was my knowledge base. So I thought, this is just the way the world works. This is the way the Windsor works. We're always going to have condos. We're always going to be building. Because we used to be able to, when you build a new condo, you have to get reservations on units. You have to have people put down payments, as you know, being from the mortgage industry. So I thought, great, you know, condo buildings are hot right now. They're going to continue to be hot. But the thing is, when I pursued this configurator, all of a sudden interest rates started to take a hike.
Yeah.
And the contracts that I had lined up for configurators were no longer there. They were being put on hold. So here I am, left the job, building this configurator with no clients, right? It was just me and a software developer named Jared, who's still with me to this day. And we thought, shit, maybe that was a bad call. But our saving grace was we developed really good relationships with subcontractors. So we were consistently visiting subcontractors' offices, visiting them on site. So when they heard that we were off on our own and building software, they said, hey, you think you can build a software for my company? I'm having a lot of problems like tracking hours, tracking my budgets. You know, you built software for construction. Maybe you can build something for me. And, you know, Pinpoint Carpentry, they came along, and Mike and I, the owner of Pinpoint, had a great relationship. And he had been wanting a software for a while for his 25 employees. So he took a chance on me to build him a project management software. Because while I was working in the construction industry, we were using big box softwares, one called Procore. And Mike tried to adopt that big box software and was having a ton of trouble getting his employees to hop on board, right? And utilize the software. So we just set out to, what features are you looking for, Mike? And how do you want your software to look? And he gave us a few ideas, and we started out with four features: clocking in, clocking out, tracking your budgets, tracking change orders, and setting schedules. So just a very simple app, nothing to it.
Yes.
And we brought him a prototype and we introduced it to his employees, and we're going to give it a try.
So this happened, you've developed the configurator, you have this product. You weren't throwing thousands of dollars into advertising. It's not like you created a website and you're like, okay, I'm just going to throw this on Google Ads and hopefully somebody clicks on it, downloads it, and that's it. So this happened organically with your past relationships that you built in the business?
Yes. Well, to be quite honest with you, we spent the first 3 months of that configurator really pushing hard with sales calls.
Okay.
Even to the point where we would reach out to American clients as well. Because we're like, all right, if Canada's having this slowdown for condos, the U.S. has to have some condos that are being built. And the reason why I consistently say condos is because our pricing model was more catered towards having multiple units for one development. To do it for one-off homes didn't quite make sense.
Makes sense.
But to have a replicated version of condos across the board helped. So we spent the first 3 months reaching out to condo owners and builders and developers. And we were very close to closing some large deals with some large builders in the U.S. And then, to be quite honest with you, our pricing model was not perfect. We didn't quite know how to price for it, whether we were going to do it by the number of units, whether we were going to do it by the number of floor plans, by the profit margins that they were going to make on their upgrades. So we weren't ready to be, you know, we weren't ready for that. And so 3 months in, like timeline-wise, if we've been in this for a year, 3 months in, we're like, okay, we have to abandon the configurator, not abandon it, but put it on hold for a minute. And we're just going to pursue contractors. And when Pinpoint took a chance on us, getting our first customer was really difficult. It spent about a month and a half of back and forth visits, prototyping, trying things out. And this time we're making no revenue, right? So we're just building, we're just hoping, we're just, you know, and shout out to Jared for really sticking with me during those tough times. But once we got our first contractor on board, we had a second one come on that same month once they started to see the results of this one contractor. And then once those first two contractors came on board, then the next four, five, six came on a lot faster.
What was the strategy behind the sales calls? Obviously, you're calling and you're like, you know, hey, David Mill from Shelta, I have this exciting product, but nobody's used it before.
Yes.
Do you want to buy it?
Yes. That was like difficult.
How did you get past that? It wasn't brought to, like, it was... There was no market history with this product, right? So how do you, for new entrepreneurs that are looking to build a business, they have something ready to launch and they have no customer base. How do you get past that?
So one thing that really worked for us, from my own experience, is having a prototype, is having something to show. Even if it's not perfect and you're consistently waiting and waiting to launch, I would just launch. I would put a product out in the market and get feedback, because your best feedback and your best features are going to come from the feedback that you get from customers. So we had a prototype, and we're on version number 5 now of the configurator, and version number 6 of our project management software. But if you look back and I show you a year ago our first product, it was good. It served the purpose, but we learned a lot by having that first product, and every sales call we would show them the demo. And they would say, it'd be really nice if you guys had this feature or this worked a little bit more user-friendly. So I think any advice to other entrepreneurs is to put a product out there and try to get as much feedback as possible. And don't let it knock you down when people don't like your product, right? Because you're so close to it. So you think, oh, people are going to love this, right? Like, I've worked so hard on it. But, you know, be open to that constructive criticism.
Yeah, it's like when I used to watch a lot of Dragon's Den and Shark Tank, and people would come in and they would love their product so much that they didn't see the flaws.
Yes.
Right? So, but like you said, launch it, go for it.
Yeah.
You're going to receive some feedback and actually act on that feedback.
Yeah.
It's probably huge.
Yeah.
Now, fast forwarding to, you're a year in the business now.
Yeah.
What are you proud of most so far? You have you're now leasing a building.
Yeah.
You have a big team under you.
Yeah.
The ball is rolling. What are you proud of?
Probably most proud of the team that we have here. You know, like I said, when it was early days, it was just two guys. It was myself and Jared, our software engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And now having, you know, 9 team members and everyone who loves coming to the office.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It just the buzz in this office and, you know, coming in every day and seeing great team members and everyone working towards a common goal. I think that's what I'm most proud of, because this whole company started just with an idea that I really believed in.
Mm-hmm.
But to have 9 other people really believe in it as well, and they want it just as bad as I do, is very satisfying.
How did you persuade or show your employees what the vision was and get them to fully believe in it? Because that can be difficult sometimes with employees.
Yeah.
Is they're working for their paycheck, but do they believe in their work?
Right? Yes.
So how did you get them to believe in their work?
You know, every single one of our employees I met along the way. It wasn't like one of these large interview processes where I sent out a job posting and got a bunch of applicants. Every single person in this company was found through an experience. So our director of marketing, Avery, he was doing video marketing for one of our contractors. And I went to site one day to onboard a new app. And then he just happened to be there filming. And I noticed the way that he interacted with contractors and the questions that he asked. And I was like, this guy's got something really special about him. And then I asked him, what are you doing for, you know, are you working for yourself? Are you working for this contractor? And he was, at the time, he was working for himself. And I told him, I'm like, I got this startup, I can't promise that, you know, we're going to go anywhere with it, but I'm pretty confident that we have a great thing going here.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that your service of, you know, filming contractors is going to be, you know, an ideal fit for Shelta. And so Avery, you know, one of our employees, he took a chance on Shelta and started filming content for all of our contractors and broadened his network. And, you know, really, I think the team members see how much I believe in it and how much, you know, we we don't really have set hours here. We kind of like, we just work together. You'll find us here sometimes till midnight, till one in the morning, either playing pool, playing darts, or doing work, right? I think the community and the atmosphere we built around here, it's very, you know, family-like kind of mm-hmm. community. And I think that, I'm fairly confident all of our employees like being here and want to be here. And it's not just one of those, you know, clock in, clock out type jobs. It's really like you're in the trenches together. And when you're going through difficult times with people, you really get to know them well. And, you know, that goes a long way.
Are you sure they're not just coming for the coffee?
Could be. The amenities here are solid. I mean, you know, even just the adding of the pool table was a big thing for us. Cause, you know, like I said, sometimes you'll just see us here at night, just hanging out, playing pool, playing darts, having coffee.
I think it's huge.
Yeah.
Especially for young people. Like you have a young team, right?
Yes.
And I'm seeing more and more that young people are valuing coming into a workspace that is exciting. There's a lot of energy. There's color. There's a lot of things going on where it's not just, okay, sit at this cubicle for 8 hours and, you know, pull out your laptop.
Yeah. And they all look at this company like an investment of their time, right? Mm-hmm. Because they may be working 10, 12 hour days and, you know, not being compensated as if it were a large company with a salary and a truck and health benefits. Like this is a startup, right? And all of our employees are really investing a lot of their time into this company and I really appreciate it. And I think they see the long-term vision. Mm-hmm. I think they see how our clients react to us and, you know, the way we're able to wow a lot of our customers. And I think they see that growing and they're all in it for the long term. You know, yeah.
And let's go into that. What is the long-term vision for you?
I mean, right now we're serving general contractors, subcontractors, solopreneurs, real estate developers, realtors, manufacturing companies. So, you know, we're really revolutionizing the construction and manufacturing industry to start adopting technology. Mm-hmm. So I think long-term, once companies realize the benefits of having a personalized software, because there are many software offerings out there. Like we have many competitors, but really what sets us apart is our boots on the ground mentality, is going to the construction site, going to their offices, interviewing not just the owner group, right? Interviewing the employees, you know, watching how the employees react with the technology, right? And really making it feel like that personalized experience. So everyone has a say in how the technology is being used and built. I think, you know, the long-term vision is to continue building this team and to, you know, expand from just construction and manufacturing, because I think that, you know, many industries can benefit from tech adoption. Mm-hmm. Right?
What are some that you, like, are there other industries you're looking at right now that you're like, okay, this could work for you?
You know, we are, but I try to stay focused. You know, a great analogy that we use oftentimes with my company is that it's like a kite, right? And I'm kind of the kite and I'm always floating away, but the team is kind of keeping me grounded because I always have these grand ideas. Like maybe we try jumping into greenhouse, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we're going to jump into, you know, even just expanding our services to realtors was a big, you know, step for us because we noticed that with the configurator, the realtors really enjoying using the configurator as a sales tool. So right now we really want to focus just on construction and manufacturing and try to stay grounded.
I really like that, right? You could have so many big ideas, but you have to be realistic as well.
Yeah.
Right. What's feasible.
Yeah.
Now moving on to other young entrepreneurs, just like you, that want to enter this business. Let's say a young David walked through the door and he's looking to start a company. What would you say to him that maybe perhaps you've learned so far?
Yeah, just don't give up. I think, you know, there's many times where, like, you know, and in the previous position I was in, it was great, right? There's a lot of opportunity for growth. Mm-hmm. You're guaranteed a paycheck at the end of each week. You have benefits. And that really is enticing for a lot of people. And that is the right route for many people. But if you're going to go down this route, you have to be willing to sacrifice a little bit of short term for long term. Be comfortable with the uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And really just stay steadfast and focused on the vision. And, you know, there's many times where I'm like, you know, some months will be really good and we'll have a number of clients sign up, and then some months we'll have no clients sign up, right? And it's sort of a labor of love. You really have to be all in. You have to be all in.
Yeah. And believe what you're doing.
Yeah.
Now, for those watching this podcast, what would you like this audience to do after the podcast? Like, how can they either get in touch with you? How can they learn more? What would you like to share?
I'd really like to meet more contractors and meet more business owners and meet real estate developers. Just have an initial meeting and get to know them and their businesses better. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like we have a lot of value to offer, and they may have a number of other options that they can go with. But I think the personalized experience that we're offering, where we come to you with our software development team, with our videographer, and we make it a really personalized experience, I think a lot of people would appreciate that. So if anything comes out of this, I'd just like to meet more contractors, more real estate developers, more business owners.
And maybe there's some young employees that are ready to work for you in the future. Because like you said, you didn't put out a posting, hey, I'm looking for this engineer, apply today, click on Indeed. You found all these people.
Yeah. Right?
So there's a lot of takeaways, I think, from this discussion today. Shelta's doing amazing things. The technology is terrific. They're constantly developing. You said generation five?
Yes.
So they're growing. It's happening in Windsor Essex. I'm definitely proud to see that it's happening in our region. So great work to yourself and your team. It's inspiring to see. And as a young entrepreneur myself, I really enjoy hearing your story.
Thank you, Lynn.
Thanks, David. Thanks to those watching. You can visit the whole episode anytime at coffeewithcraner.com. We hope to hear from you. And be sure to check out David Mill at Shelta.